Rachel Horman from Watson Ramsbottom Limited, where she's head of domestic violence and forced marriage department, also joins us today for an update on Clare's Law. Just remind us, if you would, Rachel, what is Clare's Law?
This is a scheme that's been piloted over the last 12 months in four different areas in England and Wales, including Greater Manchester. It was named after a victim of domestic violence, Clare Wood, who was murdered by her former partner in 2009, and her family have been campaigning for this law, which enables people to check out the history of their partners to see whether or not any allegations have been made in the past about domestic violence, because domestic violence does tend to follow a pattern, and Clare Wood's ex-partner had a history of being abusive to women, and her family believe that had she known that, she would have ended the relationship sooner.
I think Clare Wood did make several complaints about her former partner before her death, didn't she?
She did, yes. He was harassing her, he was threatening her, and then eventually actually murdered her. So it was very serious.
Now, you mentioned the disclosure of people's history of domestic violence, it can mm-hmm. be triggered in two ways, can't it? The right yes. to ask and the right to know. What are the differences there?
Well, the main differences are the right to ask. That is where somebody may be in a relationship and have some concerns about their partner. Maybe they've heard rumours about their partner's history. It will enable them to go to the police and to put in a formal request for information about their partner. So it basically means that they can ask for the information. The right to know is the other part of it, which means even if somebody doesn't ask, the police in some circumstances may tell that person about somebody's history. Obviously, particularly in cases where that person has a serious history of domestic abuse. And it can also be used if, for example, a relative contacts the police with concerns about their daughter's new boyfriend or something like that. The police could look at that and make a decision about whether they would then tell the woman, even though she herself hasn't asked. So I think that part of it is very good, because my view is if you're asking the police for information about your partner, it's probably too late and you're already in an abusive relationship by that point anyway.
Am I right in saying that not everyone thinks it's a good idea, this?
Well, I think that there's some caution about it being a magic wand, which clearly it isn't. I think it helps, but, I mean, Refuge, one of the main domestic violence charities, would prefer that the government concentrated on A, funding for domestic violence services, and B, a public inquiry into failings by the police and other agencies, which have led to deaths such as Clare Wood, who, as we said, did make many complaints to the police about it. So I do think it's a good thing, but my concern is that if people do make an application for information in March when this comes in, and you're told, actually, we don't have any information about your partner, don't assume that that means that he isn't abusive and doesn't have a history. Less than a quarter of domestic violence incidents are reported to the police, and the police would only have that information had there been a previous report. So you still do need to use your common sense and your caution about those things.
And on a general domestic abuse level, of course, Christmas just around the corner. Do incidents increase over the festive period?
Massively. They reckon at least three times the incidents of domestic violence happen over Christmas as opposed to other times. People spending a lot more time together, often alcohol involved, and the other pressures, maybe financial pressures as well, really make it a very difficult period. So whilst we're sat here in our elf hats, looking forward to Christmas, I'm very aware that there are lots of people who are actually dreading Christmas because of what they're worried about.
Do you find people seek advice in the new year, more people than...
Yes, it tends to go a little bit quieter at this time of the year because nobody wants to leave just before Christmas. I would encourage them to do that because we do end up being faced in January with some horrendously serious incidents that have happened over the Christmas period. So it's much better to get out now and have a happy Christmas than be walking on eggshells and maybe encounter violence.
Do you think sometimes that's easier said than done because you've got the kids, haven't you, too?
Well, people say, but then it's not a good thing for children to witness violence, is it? So, like I say, even though you do worry about that, it's much better if you and the children are somewhere safe and happy.
Difficult judgment, though, isn't it? Yeah. Difficult.
Well, safety comes first, doesn't it? You know, two women a week are murdered, and often in front of children. So I think, you know, you've got to remember that. And have a happy Christmas.
I mean, do you see the divorce rate going up after?
Yeah, well, you know, the first day back in the office in January is always the busiest year, the busiest day of the year for divorce files being opened up because people try and give it a go over Christmas and realise that it's not working for whatever reason. So, yeah, I understand what Rachel's saying. The main thing is to have a happy Christmas, isn't it?
I'm talking about, you know, serious situations. Everybody will fall out at Christmas at some point over something, but I'm obviously talking about abusive situations rather than just
talking
people
about the
having
serious
an
end
argument.
Of the spectrum,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm.
People will be falling out of the remote control, won't they?
Whether to watch Doctor Who or Downton Abbey.
Or indeed...
whether the Brussels are cooked.
Yeah, there we are. Yeah. Or indeed who to listen to on Radio Lancashire as well over Christmas. That's what people...